Vectis Radio, 20 past five, and anything can happen. Ellie Goulding, of course, West End and Sybil, just ahead of that. OK, I am joined by the person, of course, I've been talking about this interview all day, with Mark Shaw from Then Jericho, should be joining me on the line now. Good evening.
Hi, Dan. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. How's things with you, apart from the ankle?
Not bad at all, thanks, mate. I'm recovering. You know, I had an operation yesterday, and they gave me a general anaesthetic. Just saying, it's all recovering well, and then it gives me drip. But yeah, you know, it's good. These things have to happen because I need to be bouncing around like a spring chicken.
Exactly. I very much doubt if your dancing days are over.
No, I still like to shake a tail feather, mate. You know, I like to build you up there. You
know? That's always
good. Of course, the book in Southampton, not the biggest stage in the world for dancing, so I'll be doing a lot of pogoing, I think, is going to be my main routine there,
Pogoing around the Brook in Southampton, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, I've done it a few times before, they're lovely for it there.
Yeah, yeah, of course. So, obviously, I've been doing my research, you know, about when the band was formed and how you got together and things like that. Intrigue, tell me, where did the name Then Jericho come from?
Right, well, I was living in a squat when I first started the band, as one did in those days, and to be honest, the only two publications that came to hand, I knew that I needed a band name. I wanted something different, and I wanted something that was going to be, a metaphor, or was going to describe what I felt music could do. And I always felt that music can change the world, almost certainly it can change people's perceptions.
Yep.
Everyone said music can't change the world, but of course I had these two publications. One was the Bible, which they weren't mine, they were just lying around. One was the Bible, and it was a half-eaten, you know, moth-eaten rat, half-destroyed version of the Bible, and the other one was a film magazine called Screaming Virgins, and it was a choice between that or the Jericho story.
Oh, I see.
But I read the story of Jericho and what happened and the whole concept about it being a sort of sit-in protest and the idea that the Israelites believed it was God. They surrounded the walled city of Jericho for 7 days. They chanted, they prayed, and the priests blew ram's horns, which was very common in those days. They were the earliest trumpets, if you like.
Yeah.
I think it's where the word horn section actually came from.
Oh, I see, right.
But I just really like the metaphor. I like the, or the analogy, whatever you call it. I like the fact that it's sort of with belief and with sort of, I suppose you call it persistence, that you can actually change the world. In fact, it was subsonics. They created incredibly low notes. And I like the fact the power of music could change something. So I thought, well, you can't change the world, but then Jericho. And it kind of happened. And I thought, that works.
It does work.
And no one else had stolen it, so I decided to use it. And it stuck, you know?
It has stuck indeed. Of course, you know, it is a bit very uplifting thing, music. It can change your mood and all that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
And, I mean, obviously, you know, of course, you probably heard this a lot, but, of course, your prime in 1989, the big area hitting the scene. But there was lots of songs before that, obviously.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, were you expecting the band to be as successful as what it was?
To be honest, I expected it to be more successful than we were.
Oh, right.
I mean, it was something, we've always been the sort of band that we were very intent upon making a musical statement and writing songs and making records that we wanted to be classics, that we wanted to, I suppose, have longevity to them. We didn't want to write something that would come and go very quickly, so we insisted upon making sure our records always had a sound that would sort of be future-proof, if you like. So we didn't have too many ultra-modern sounds at the time. We always sort of imagined ourselves becoming the next U2 or something like that, which didn't quite happen.
Oh, I see,
But it is always a surprise when we didn't expect it to be as successful as it was the way it was. It took longer than we thought, but yeah, we always thought we'd be successful because you have to have that belief.
You do indeed,
But, you know, it's still a surprise when it kind of happens because it took us, I don't know, 6-7 years to really make an impact. We had following and we had hits. But all of a sudden, there it was happening, and then it's like, oh, wow, gosh, you don't expect it when it happens the way it happens, because it just, suddenly you're walking down a street, and people start chasing you, and they're not after money for once, they want an autograph.
You think, my God, I'm famous now, yeah. Because I get what you're saying about the future proof, because when you listen to Big Area, you know, even though it was, it peaked the charts in 1989, at number 13, I believe, on the UK charts.
That's right, yeah.
And, of course, it sounds like something you would hear in the mid-90s. So you got right there, yeah.
I'm glad about that. I mean, we kind of, that was probably the most, how would you put it, probably the most modern sounding record we've ever made. Or the first two singles we ever released, we did have dance remixes done, and we did have a lot of modern sounds, but then we kind of went very, very classic, and we just thought, nah, we don't want to end up dating, because that tends to happen. If you make a record that has, you know, contemporary sounds, those sounds date very, very quickly. So I'm glad to see that people still play them, and that they still sort of sound relevant today, because it's nothing worse than, I think, if you listen to something, you think, oh God, that sounds so old hat.
Indeed, you know? Yeah, but no, you're ahead of the time there. But,
Thank you, of course,
now you've got a big, well, you've got a few busy months to look forward to, haven't you, really, Mark?
It's amazing, there's loads going on. We're releasing our Reprise compilation, which is it's a compilation, it's just for download. It's the first time we've ever released an album strictly for download, so for us it's exciting because we're very old, so to us it's all very modern. But it's what it is that we had an awful lot of mixes and remixes and mixes for the States and some great B-sides and extra tracks that were released only on CD singles or cassette singles or whatever, that most people haven't got. And we've got a whole catalogue of songs that we're very, very proud of, as well as remixes of the singles, of all the singles we did, which are different from the English mixes. And we kind of prefer them, often you do prefer them, because you can be a little bit more expansive and a little bit more adventurous in those mixes. So we thought, you know what, we want to release these. So spoke to the nice people up at Warner and Rhino, and they agreed to pull it out, so I'm choosing all the tracks for it, designing the sleeve, and that's going out in May.
Brilliant, yeah.
We're going out to support it on tour, so we're going to tour anyway. So it's nice to have an album out to tie into it, so that there is a sort of coalescence of everything. But to be honest with you, we'd be touring even if we didn't have a record, because we really love touring. And
of course.
Together with the guys, you know?
Yeah, exactly, and I hear you're recovering from a clumsy accident at the moment as well that happened years ago.
That's right, I am, yeah. It was. Do you want me to tell you about that a little bit?
You could tell us about your accident if you like, Mark, yeah.
Okay, it's a little bit it's painful, so get out, be prepared to wince. I was doing a gig at a club called Café de Paris in the middle of London, and what happened was someone was having a bit of an argument with someone on the balcony, and there was bottles going over the balcony into the crowd. And then this guy started chucking bottles at the band. Now, I don't mind them throwing bottles at me. That's not an imitation, people. You know, if you take that, that's part of your job. You expect someone to be leery. But when they start sort of attacking people in the crowd, and when they, you know, it gets over the top, I thought, you've got to stop this. So I climbed onto the PA. The big PA speakers, and so I could be face-to-face with him on the balcony. And he took a swing at me, and I ducked, and then the whole speaker stack started to wobble, and it was going to go into the crowd, so I had to jump 20 feet, and my feet exploded. My legs went straight through my heels, and my heels
Yikes.
Shattered.
Right.
Yeah, no, it's what I said. What's that effect? So ever since then, it's been a constant battle to be able to walk. But I've got to say, they've got some excellent doctors, and they keep stitching me up and rebuilding me, and you know, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be ready to rock. It will hurt. It always hurts, and it's never easy. But when you're up on stage, you don't think of those things.
No, you don't. So, the adrenaline sort of kicks in,
I should have. The adrenaline, yeah. But also, I mean, it's, to be honest with you, they're fixing me up, and I said, look, I'm going to go out and dive around like a lunatic. I need to be able to move. And they said, well, you will. You're going to suffer after the tour, but if you want to do it. So I am fit, and I am healthy, and I'm really pleased that I've got it done, because I want to be able to give everything I've got, because people deserve that.
Exactly. Yeah, and as I was saying, you've got a busy one with the Reprise tour all next month all over the country, of course.
That's
local,
right,
to us.
Name, yeah.
Brighton on the 21st, Southampton, The Brook on the 22nd, and of course the grand finale, London, on the 24th. Then I suppose, have you got a little bit of a break until the Rewind Festival in August? Or
We do, actually, Daniel. We're doing on the 8th of June, we're playing Let's Rock Bristol, which is
I've heard of that one.
Kind of fest. And to be honest, I've always avoided the 80s revival things before, because I just didn't want to be pigeonholed as, and even though we are an 80s band, I didn't want to be just hit with that label all the time, because when we reformed last year, we decided to go out and play, you know, clubs, and we played all the academy venues. You want to go out and play real venues, which is why we're playing the venues we're playing now, rather than just go and play celebrations of 80s music. You want to go out and play all the songs that we like. If you play the festivals, you sort of have to play just the hits, and we want to play our album tracks and the stuff that Jericho is all about. So it's nice to now be able to say, yeah, we're going to do Let's Rock Bristol in June and then Rewind in August, on the 17th of August, because now we can go and do those 80 things, knowing that we've gone out and re-established our credibility, and people know we're not just sort of jumping onto a you know, a sort of movement that's been going on for a few years now. We're not just jumping on the bandwagon.
No, of course. No, you're in
because I'd probably fall off if we did. No.
Yeah, you don't hurt your other foot, Mark.
Well, I did them both. I shattered both heels, actually. So it's just by degrees. But I am fit, so I don't want people to be worrying, going, hello, is he going to be all right? I'll be fine. Don't worry, kid.
No problem. And I've got a friend of mine, because you got quite a following on Facebook. Oh, yeah, you have, as I'm sure you're aware. A friend of mine, Alison Pickering, says, when are you next playing in Bournemouth?
Good question. You know, we'd love to play everywhere, Alison, is the answer to that. And Dan, we'd love to play everywhere. Our situation is that the band is pretty dispersed around the planet. Our bass player lives up in Norwich, not too far. But our drummer Steve lives in New Zealand, and the lead guitarist Rob lives in Spain.
Oh, quite scattered.
Jasper, the bass, lives in Norwich. Scott and I live in London. Scott Taylor and I live in London. But to be honest, trying to get everybody together at one time just to put together one tour is very, very difficult.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine it is.
So the idea is just to play as many venues as we can on one tour and then come back and keep playing. But I would love to come down and play in Bournemouth, and I know there's a couple of really good venues, and there's a really good vibe there. There's a good music scene and a lot of student things going on. So, you know, I'll certainly try to keep it in mind, and we will be everywhere. If we can get the gigs and we can get everyone in the band together at one time, we'll be there, because we want to just do this country the same as we did it before, play everywhere all the time, constantly, until you're sick of us. That's the plan.
I don't want to inflate your ego even more, but she says you've got sexy eyes as well.
Well, but talking about that, I mean, I used to have. I used to wear a lot of eye makeup, but these days, I'm just, you know, hey. They're old eyes. Thank you very much. That's lovely.
No problem. Okay, now, would you like to announce Big Area for us and say this is Vectis Radio? Go on, Mark.
For Vectis Radio?
Oh, yes.
Hi, this is Mark Shaw from Ben Jericho, and you're listening to Vectis Radio. This is Big Area.
Thanks ever so much, Mark, and enjoy the tour.
Dan, thank you very much, mate. God bless you.
It's a pleasure.
Gig, man.
Oh, yes, I'll be there. All the best.
Take it easy.
Cheers,
see
Mark.
Now.
Bye for now.
Bye, mate. Bye, mate.
Fantastic. Then Jericho, Big Area. And you just heard the man himself, Mark Short, on the phone. So details of the tour dates on the Then Jericho official website, which I'm sure you will find if you Google. Good stuff. Rock.